is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Dawn Hay Thomas has turned up and brought the cloud with her, but I'm pretty sure she's just about to brighten up the day with some hot news. But first of all, welcome, Dawn. How are you?
Thank you. I'm extremely well. I've got nothing to do with the weather either.
We won't blame you, then.
Good to be back.
Well, it's good to have you back. Last time you were with some St. George's kids, and I think they gave you a grilling. You were then the High Sheriff.
That's right. They asked me some tricky questions. I was put on the spot, but very impressed with them.
Would it be fair to say that those things you put in place as the High Sheriff and you made literacy your big thing, that you've continued that in the last couple of years, and you just carried it on, so, which is great. But it leads us on to this wonderful announcement from government.
That's right. So literacy is a real passion of mine. I know how much reading has been a pleasure in my life and has also helped me have the successes that I've had. So I was delighted to open my email on Sunday morning and see that the government has made this wonderful announcement that they are going to be making the year 2026 a National Year of Reading. And this is a real recognition of the importance of making sure that our children are growing up knowing how to read fluently. The reason why, it's not just about enjoying a good book. There are so much data showing how it improves every element of your life chance, down to the type of housing you'll live in, down to the type of job you'll get, your health, your mental health, whether you might be a victim or perpetrator of crime, and even your life expectancy is all affected by how well you can read. So it's so critical in my mind.
It's so important. It really is. And we've seen a decline over the years. Now, big announcement, you should mention the statistics that, you know, the Isle of Wight, because they're not good.
Sure, I know. And we are at the bottom of the league tables nationwide. So if I just put that into figures, a third of Isle of Wight children go to secondary school not at their reading age. And that compares to a quarter across the rest of the nation. So we've really fallen behind, and it just means that our children are not able to access the wide range of subjects which they're then exposed to at secondary school, and that's such a loss.
I'm not a big reader, but I have listened to over 250-odd audiobooks in the last sort of 10 years.
Yes.
To me, that's, you know, because then I can sit in the sun and I can listen to the book and so on, because if I'm reading, I've got to wear sunglasses and I get panda eyes. So That's one of the reasons why. But everybody can partake, can't they? Everybody, you know, we might say, oh, yeah, but I can't. Yes, you can. And we're going to find a way in the next sort of 12 months or so, because we're going to put things in place. How important is this? It's really, really important. If you can't, if you struggle to read and write, there's a very good chance that you're going to struggle to get a job in the future. So where do we start with, I mean, I know we've kind of had a chat outside, but we're going to start with younger kids.
Absolutely. It's never too young to start reading with your children or children in your life, whether you're a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, an older sibling, not just parents and carers, of course. It's a lovely part of an evening routine for children, after tea, having a bath, and then having a story. Obviously, when they're very little, they need to be read to. But there's wonderful picture books out there. We have an excellent library service on the Isle of Wight, so we can all access books for free. As the child gets older, then the child can be encouraged to read on their own. And at first, it's all about making sounds, making sentences. And that will take several years of practice. And practice is key. And the child needs to be supported by reading adults or older siblings. So that's what the government is really urging parents and carers to do, is understand how critical this practice is. And I think Bridget Phillipson's recommending 10 minutes a day, which I think we can all find 10 minutes in our day. I know we're super busy. But actually, when you talk to children about some of their favourite memories of childhood, it's so often that cosy time at the end of the day. Mm. It's sitting in bed with mum or dad or grandparent or some trusted family member, sitting and going through a lovely story. The children, you know, it must not be underrated at all. So I think that's one of my key points today, is do believe that practice does work and as much reading time as you can give with the children in your life will really benefit them.
It's not just about that reading a book, is it? It's about spending that time, that important time with young people, and making that time. I would imagine there's an awful lot of parents in this world that are struggling to find the time, but if you just put aside 10 minutes, the benefits are incredible. We talk about mental health, and I would imagine there's a lot of guilty people out there that might think, I wish I could spend more time.
Mm-hmm.
You can. You just need to make that little bit of an effort. And how lovely it is when you watch a film or you watch a TV program and you hear a child say, read me a story, and they go and read a story, and you watch this family, this parent sit down with a child, and just nothing else matters.
Yes.
Nothing else is on the horizon. It's just you and your child sitting down having a story. And how lovely is that? And I would imagine more and more people ought to do this. If you're a stressed kind of person,
mm-hmm.
if you feel like you're really guilty because you can't spend time, or you just do it. Just make some time. Sit down and read that story, because it will. It will make a hell of a lot of difference to your mental health, the child's mental health. And if you don't get to that point where you think, well, that was good, that was better than that's made me feel a bit better. If it doesn't happen, you obviously need to take it further and go see a doctor or something, because honestly, it would work.
Yes.
And I think that's where we've lost the art of it, haven't we?
Yes. It's a critical part of a child's upbringing, not just the being able to literally read the letters and the words on a page. It's helping them to understand the world. So also when you're going through a book, just ask the child if they understand what's going on. What does that word mean? Do you know that expression? I often go in and read at Queensgate Primary School on a Thursday afternoon, which I thoroughly enjoy. And the other day we had a book about a city, and I found the child didn't know what a city had been because they hadn't left the Isle of Wight. And I tell you, it challenged me to describe a city in a way that could bring it to life for the child.
Yeah.
And I thought, how silly of me to in any way presume that the child would know what that might look like and feel like. So I think it really leads to excellent conversations with the children to explain the world to them, because that's the only way that they really learn. I think also empathy is key. We all know those books where there's maybe a tragedy, and it helps children understand that, you know, life is tough and we have adverse moments, but we can overcome them, and we learn how to get mental tricks to help us overcome the tougher parts of life. So I think that reading can give us so much more.
Look, as soon as you mentioned that you know your parents read to you and so on, I've got to ask you this. So what sort of books stories did your parents tell you when you were little?
Well, I loved Enid Blyton. I'm a 70s child, and I loved The Famous Five, and I loved The Secret Seven, because it was all about adventures, and it was children having a lot of freedom, and children finding their own way, making mistakes, getting into pickles, always a dog at their side. So those are some of my favourite books. Roald Dahl, absolute genius, and he's really stood the test of time. I still find that as the book that my children and the children at Queensgate, where I read, gravitate towards. He's an excellent author.
Yeah.
But I just want to reiterate that the library service on the Isle of Wight is good. It's excellent. Please use it. And they're running the Summer Reading Challenge, which is a nationwide challenge targeting between 4 and 11-year-olds to read 6 or more books through the summer holiday, and they get rewarded with stickers and certificates. And the theme this year is Story Garden, so it's all about nature and the outdoors, which I'd like to think our island children understand well.
Now, look, I was telling you outside of a young gentleman that was coming down from St George's last week. He loves asking questions, and he was asking the questions about books,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying, why would I go to the library? And we were explaining to him, or the teacher was explaining to him, you go to the library and get a book because it's free.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go and buy a book. You can actually go to the library with your card. I haven't got a card. Well, you go out and you fill out a little form and you get a ticket, a card, and you can can go and get, I don't know how many books you can get at the library now. And he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. But the thing that I was questioning is, why don't you know about this? We all knew about this when we were kids. So maybe we've got to shout about that. Maybe we've got to make it known that, yes, you can go to the library. Save yourself some money. Go to the library. Get yourself a book.
I think also it's a really lovely activity. The summer holidays are about to start and they're very long, and I know parents will be tearing their hair out with ideas of how to entertain their children. You can potter down to the library. Often there'll be a children's reading session going on, or you can just easily while away a couple of hours browsing through books, and then your children can take them home with them. But no, I think what would also appeal to the young more if they understood that they can also take out DVDs and they can take out videos and CDs, but also there's access to the likes of Audibles. So if people want to listen to stories, the libraries are now up to date, up to speed, and you can use the subscriptions that they have available in order to access pretty much anything.
Go on, how many libraries have we got on the island we can go and do that then? There's one in Newport, obviously. One in Ryde?
We've got something like, I want to say, seven public libraries and a further four community libraries.
So you don't have to travel too far?
No, you don't. No, no,
perfect.
They're everywhere. The other tip I would give parents, if they are wanting their children to progress with their reading, is turn on the subtitles. So we've known this forever, that if you want to learn a foreign language, watch a foreign film with the subtitles turned on. Well, funnily enough, it works for English too. So if you can just turn on the subtitles on your TV, if you're watching a programme in the evening, your children's language development will progress much faster with subtitles on.
Okay, that sounds fascinating.
So that's another tip.
Yeah, and just sort of, you know, if people don't think that, because years ago, it was all you had. You had so many. I mean, you go back years, you know, you were probably limited to what you could watch on the television. You were limited to what you could get, you know, read to you, phones and all. It's kind of got in the way. But it's now, it's like just put yourself back in the 1970s. And you haven't got the, just take the TV away for the moment. And people think, yeah, but TV's trendy. Yeah, it is. But all of those films that you're watching, they would have come from a book. Mm-hmm. Originally, they would have come from some kind of book, some kind of writing and so on. So, you know, all it is going back to the basics, back to where it all began. So, you know, when we're all watching the new Snow White movie, just remember that it started out as a book. And there's been some really good films and so on, but they all come from the book. The stories come from the book, and it's I think we should never forget that. But I think we have over the last few years with technology. And ask yourself this: if your mental health is perfect, if you're okay, then all right, don't change nothing. But if you are struggling a little bit, I think sometimes it's going back to the basics and putting these basic little rules in place, reading a book, spending some time with certain people that you should be spending time with, and it will make a hell of a lot of difference. It really will. Now, we're looking at making some, doing some things next year. We're going to get, he's been in once. He's not seen it. He's been in numerous times. Ian Charles Dickens, he's the perfect person to sit in a chair and sit and do Jack and Ori. Wouldn't it be great? Would you do that? Would you sit in a chair and be filmed? And
I'd love to.
What story would you tell?
What story would I tell?
Yeah, come on. What story?
Oh, George's Marvellous Medicine, probably. That's one of my favourites. A Roald Dahl.
Excellent. I've not come across that one. Obviously, there's the obvious one. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The one I couldn't understand why they never made into a book was Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator, which would have been a follow-on.
That would have been a good film.
I remember getting bought Fantastic Mr. Fox, and I've got to be honest, the film was awful. The book was brilliant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Bogus Bunsen Bean.
Yes.
One fat, one skinny, one lean.
That's right.
that's my favourite book ever, I think.
Yes.
And I must admit, someone bought me that about a couple of years ago, but I haven't had a chance to read it, but maybe I should. Maybe that'll be the first book that I read to my grandson.
Well, and equally, we should give a nod to all the excellent new authors that are coming up the ranks, and we have many on the Isle of Wight. It's not just the old classics. There's also a huge amount of modern work out there, which is excellent quality too. So we should have a range of stories that we read.
Definitely.
That would be great. And if I might just quickly give a plug to school readers, if anybody out there fancies volunteering to read and listen to a child reading at their local primary school, then please be in touch. You can go to the School Readers website, schoolreaders.org, and you can sign up there to be a volunteer.
Fantastic. I mean, that sounds like a really helpful thing. And I know that my old next door neighbour, she was doing this for a number of years, and she would go into Nine Acres School and do this. And I couldn't really, when she said it, I didn't really take much notice of it. But now you come to think of it, you think, yeah, OK, it's a really lovely thing to be able to do.
It's my favourite 2 hours of the week, genuinely. And I now know the children pretty well because I'm in the third year of reading with the same children. So I've really seen their progression, and that's incredibly rewarding.
So the difference, tell us about the difference in the young people that are able then to read, I guess.
Well, we've gone from literally sounding out words to now them reading Harry Potter in the space of 3 years.
Crikey.
And so the conversations I used to have with them about how to make the OU sound, for instance, or are now talking about really quite sophisticated vocabulary. I get tested. I find myself challenged sometimes.
That's good, though,
and
isn't it?
It's really good. I think children love conversation with an adult. They love talking about their lives. They like hearing about your life. And I never don't leave with a big smile on my face. I absolutely love reading with the children.
Do you know, I'm just thinking now how it used to be when we didn't have a massive amount. And to now, you think if you pay attention to films and music and TV, they've all got charts. They're all telling you what's really, really good to read. And maybe next year we ought to make a really big thing of it to say, oh, I've read so-and-so. Have you read that yet? Let's say top 10 books of the week, island books of the week, top 10 schools book. What are they all reading in schools at the moment? What is the big thing at the moment? Do we know?
Absolutely. Well, I know that Peter Murray is very popular. He's written some ghost stories about the Isle of Wight, which have been unbelievably popular. He's been around a lot of the primary schools, and he does a fantastic assembly where he leaves the children on a cliff edge with one of his stories. So I would say, yes, Peter Murray, Christopher Stevens as well, another local author, who does some excellent sort of fantasy seaside stories.
Are we getting them involved as well?
I'd love to get them involved. Yeah. And I like your idea about the charts too. We should do that.
Yeah, because then you can say, what's hot this week?
Yes.
I'm fed up of seeing what... They'll show you stuff that is, you know, on Netflix. And you think, that film came out 10 years ago. What's that doing in the top 10?
Yeah.
They must be short of films. Well, we're not going to be short of books, are we?
We're not short of books. And the other thing which is interesting is children do like different genres. And I do tend to find that the girls enjoy the fiction more. And they like stories about relationships. And the boys, I can speak for my own children, my boys love fact books. And they like real life stories of climbing Everest or explorer stories.
I kind of like that. Autobiographies. I love an autobiography.
Autobiographies are a fantastic way for a child to see what is possible in their life. You know, we want to raise children's ambitions. We want them to believe that they can achieve anything in this world and really go for it. Just have big ambitions. And they can learn that by reading autobiographies in particular.
So come on, what's the best book you've ever read? One you've read numerous times.
The best book. I love The Poisonwood Bible. That's a Barbara Kingsolver.
Right.
And having spent a lot of time in Africa in a previous job, it is the story of a missionary taking his wife and four daughters down to the Congo and hitting some extremely bad times with all of the daughters having very difficult outcomes. But it's a wonderful story of human resilience and ultimately succeeding.
Can you read that in Queensgate? Or not?
Bit heavy, I think.
Bit heavy. What sort of stuff are you going to be reading in Queensgate then? So that other schools might get the idea of, oh, hang on, what sort of books are you talking about here? Give us an idea. Go on, what are you reading in Queensgate at the moment?
Well, there's a lot of interest in, I want to say, alligators. It's like a detective story, which is an alligator who is the key detective.
Right.
And that's in a comic form. So I think that's really interesting because comics definitely resonate with some children more than just straightforward reading. Julia Donaldson always remains incredibly popular. The author of the Gruffalo and all those series. There's quite a lot of fairy magic. Unicorn stories do remain very popular too. I think those are the main things.
Okay.
Depends on your age group.
Yeah, it does.
But I think the important thing is we really want the children reading well before they go to secondary school. Because if they get to secondary school and they can't read, they start to get self-conscious and embarrassed, and it becomes a bit too late to put your hand up to say, I don't understand.
Mm.
And then you see truancy starting, and it just a downward spiral begins. So it really is, you know, one of my ambitions is to make sure that we are getting every child to their reading age before they move up to secondary school. And that's what I'm managing to do with my team of 60 volunteers.
Brilliant.
Well, that's what we're not managing to do yet, but we are working hard on it. It's and we would just therefore we love this messaging coming out from government, urging parents that 10 minutes every day really will make a difference. Do what you can.
Yeah, definitely. Wouldn't it be nice in 12 months' time, you're hearing people, instead of, you know, talking about, oh, did you see so-and-so? No, have you read the latest one? That would be good, wouldn't it? To mm-hmm. be able to get to that point.
That would be fantastic. Well, something that the National Literacy Trust is doing together with the government is making sure that every primary school in the UK has a library. And I can tell you, within 12 hours of the press release going out, they'd already contacted me to say, right, we want to hit the Isle of Wight hard and we want to get our books out to the Isle of Wight quickly. So let's be a case study. Let's be a leading example for our government on how to turn things around.
Excellent.
And I would say, you know, the council's school improvement team is excellent. There's some really, really passionate, dedicated professionals working in the council on trying to turn our education system around here. So, let's give them our full support.
Yeah, definitely. There's a young lady that used to come in earlier this year. The final session on the 4Ps was probably about 2 or 3 months ago, and she used to come in and do a podcast on Greek mythology because she's, age 12, that kind of blew my mind a little bit. And all the pronunciation was perfect, and it was. So there are some high points. There are people. There are obviously some figures would deem that, you know, it's too low, and we've got to do something about it. So it's really good that you're involved. It's really good that you've got 60 volunteers that are going in. People are going in and out of schools. So if there are people from this lunchtime listening to this thinking, I want to help, they can just contact the nearest school, I guess.
Go to schoolreaders.org. That would be the best way to go, and then we will coordinate all of the vetting and the DBS checking, and then they'll be placed in the school that's appropriate to
Okay. Go. Two reasons to go to your local library. One, it's free, mm-hmm. and two, there's a competition.
Excellent.
All right, so that's anything else you want to say before you go?
No, I think that's it. Just thanks so much for giving me the airtime on such an important topic.
Anytime. You're welcome anytime, and we really want to get behind it because it's really important that we do.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.